So I just want to read a wee verse just to start with. Psalm 32, verse 1. And really, I suppose this sums up not just my testimony, but anybody's testimony who knows the Lord as Saviour. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And I think that word blessed there really means, you know, having a true peace and a happiness and a contentment. And that's what I have because, as the verse says, because my transgressions have been forgiven and my sins have been covered. And we can praise the Lord for that, as you can too, obviously, if you're saved. And like everybody else, obviously born as a sinner, and yet all my sins, past sins, present sins, and praise the Lord, my future sins, have all been forgiven. And of course, that's been through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're reminded in 1 John 1 and 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that was a message that I heard from my parents growing up. They were saved, and obviously still are, and sent me along to church and Sunday school and all the meetings in the area and so on. And so that was something that I was very familiar with growing up as a child. Our children's meeting in our church was on a Wednesday evening. It was one night there when I was 7 years old and came home from the meeting and talked to my mum. And it was at that point that I got saved. And I don't know the exact date, but I do know the year, and I can remember very clearly the sort of events of that evening. And praise the Lord for saving me that night. And that was the moment that my transgressions were forgiven and my sins were covered. As a young believer, I was trained and taught in the things of the Lord, both at home and in church, and did learn early on in my Christian life probably the importance of Bible reading and of prayer. But I can remember having times of doubting my salvation and sort of wondering, you know, did I really mean it? You know, I was only young. Did the Lord really save me? All those things that maybe you've even had as a Christian as well. And but yet we can praise the Lord that our salvation is not based on our feelings, but obviously based on facts. And the focus is not on us, but on Christ. And salvation is not about what we have done, but it's what the Lord has done. And I did trust the Lord, and the Lord has promised that he is faithful to his word, and he has forgiven those sins. And even to think back at the passage in John 10, has always been a big encouragement in those times of doubting, whenever it talks there about how no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And we can be thankful that the Lord has even brought me through times whenever I have doubted what he has done for me. I want to read another verse from just on a couple of Psalms. Psalm 37 is a very special Psalm to me. And in verse 24, it says, it's talking about how, you know, but a believer, someone that's saved, and it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And as a Christian, obviously, I'm not perfect in the way I live, and neither are any of us, and we won't be perfect until we get to glory. Because on earth, we are going to struggle against sin. We're going to struggle against the world and the flesh and, of course, Satan himself. And the phrase, even the very beginning of that verse, says, though he fall, the expectation almost is as believers that we will fall into sin. And sometimes those are outward sins that other people can easily see, and sometimes they're inward things that others don't see around us. And for me, as a young, growing Christian, it wasn't the outward sins. It wasn't that it was keeping bad company or, you know, losing interest in things of God or drinking or clubbing or anything like that. And I'm thankful for that, just simply because that wasn't the path that the Lord led my life in. But I still fail, and because we're reminded that we will fall as his people. And in that process of me falling as a believer and of the Lord lifting us up, as he always does, the Lord had lessons to teach me. It mightn't have been outward things, but it was inward things, things about wrong attitudes, about pride, about trust, about learning to what it really means in our Christian lives to trust and obey in the Lord. And even battles that we have within ourselves and in our minds. And in those times of falling, I can thank the Lord every time he lifts us up. And a verse that was a real help in those times is in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I'll just read it to you. And talks about even when we struggle with those thoughts in our minds. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And it is a blessing to that we will, even though we will fall in our Christian lives, the Lord is always there to lift us up again. Now, over the years, the Lord has given me both an interest and an opportunity to be involved in children's work and youth work. And I'm thankful for that. mostly at home. I have had the opportunity occasionally in summers, sort of when I was younger, to go with maybe beach missions or child evangelism fellowship to some places down south. And two particular summers, I was able to go to Kosovo and to Jamaica. But mostly it's just been about home and locally. And that's been encouraging and to be involved in that and to reach out with the gospel and also then to encourage unbelievers to grow in the Lord. And it's been good to see the Lord leading and guiding and giving me the help and strength whenever we don't have anything ourselves. And also to see the Lord moving and to see children saved and to see them actually going on and growing with the Lord. Now, fellas, you can close your ears at this point because it's just for girls. In 2003, we're going to be with them. I fell in love. Okay. Guys, you can listen again. And 2 years later, I was married to Johnny. Okay. And the bit of a saga how we kind of all got together, but not us all, Johnny and I got together. But anyway, that's for another story, okay, another time. But the Lord had made it clear to Johnny, even before we started going out together, that I was the one for him. But it did take a little bit longer for the Lord to reveal that to me, not only because I was being a bit stubborn, okay, but because during that time of waiting, there were seriously valuable lessons that I had to learn and that Johnny had to learn as well. And even when you set out in your married life, there is a lot that you have to learn together. Because, you know, as a Christian couple, your marriage is fundamentally different. It has to be different from other couples around you who don't know the Lord. And not just in a cliche sort of type way of, yes, we're going to put the Lord first in our marriage, but, you know, really as a couple, you've got to seek God. You've got to search the scriptures and know how in an everyday practical way that we can live our married lives in a way that's biblical and found in the Word of God. And it's been a blessing to us to even have godly couples around us that we can look to. And their example has even been a help to us as well. So if we go back a little bit from that, when I left school, I went to Stranmillis to train for primary teaching. And I taught in Derriachi Primary School for 10 years. Now, the school actually closed in June, just due to government funding cuts and small numbers and so on. So I'm actually at the minute teaching in Palm Park Primary School in Lisburn. But Derriachi obviously spent a lot of years there. It was a small school, an area with lots of difficulties, both economically and socially. And that was a bit of a steep learning curve for me when I first started, because I suppose it came from a bit of a sheltered background. So going there sort of opened my eyes to a lot of things. It was good for me in a career sense from a teaching point of view, because there was so much for me to learn and so many opportunities that I wouldn't have got in other schools. Now, Derriachi is a very unique area. And I genuinely now, looking back, wish that I had written down all the little sad things and funny things that happened, that I could sort of look back on them. But particularly in my early years there, so I was there for 10 years, particularly in my early years, there would have been quite a lot of paramilitary activity, you know, in the area. And regularly we would have had broken windows in the school when you come in the Monday morning. But it was easily solved. We didn't phone the police. All my boss had to do was go and speak to the man, and the broken window stopped. So, and even if you think back, remember the whole Drumcree thing, when that all sort of was a big thing years ago, they set up roadblocks, which were manned by some of our ex-pupils, but there was never any problem for me getting through, because you always have special permission to kind of get through the roadblock. I remember one child, again back in the early years there, telling me, just sitting in class one morning, and saying that his daddy had hidden guns in the wall of his house, but if the police came, he wasn't to tell them which wall they're in. Yeah. And some of those were funny, you know. And yet, on a more serious note, there were other situations that were very hard, when we did genuinely have children who suffered from neglect or physical and even sexual abuse. And, you know, that's difficult to be involved, obviously, in that. But in Derriachi, there were wonderful opportunities that the Lord gave, just even to share the gospel with those children. It was part of my job to organise and plan the assemblies and to get to take those at times. And then, particularly in the later years, I'd have taken the RE classes, especially for P4s, 5s, 6s and 7s. And, you know, I was given complete freedom there. And that's unique, because although there is freedom generally in our schools in Northern Ireland, the freedom that I had there was just a particular opening, I believe, that the Lord gave, and I'm thankful to him for giving that and for giving the boldness to take it. And the Gospel Hall there in the local area, the folk there were very faithful in working with the children, and really it was almost like a partnership. They were working there in the evenings, and you know, the Lord had me there during the day, and it was lovely. And the children would have, in those afternoon classes, would have asked many, many questions, serious and important open questions about the Word of God, and, you know, real opportunity there to ask them that. And I did find it hard leaving in June, but, you know, that was that door closed for me, and my work there is finished, but we praise the Lord that his work continues on. Just to bring you right up to date, as I said, I'm 5 months pregnant, and just back in December or December time there, we went from initial maternity appointment to hospital. They found out there were a couple of problems, not with the baby, with me. So when they did investigations, they found out I have a kidney disease, which means that my kidneys are functioning at a very low level, which may mean in the next few years I'd need to get a live kidney transplant. And from the doctor's point of view, it means that the pregnancy is quite high risk. Now, obviously, that was a lot for us to digest back at that time, but, you know, very thankful that it kept so well, and we praise the Lord for that. And we've been greatly blessed by the prayerful support of God's people and knowing in a real way the Lord's grace and help and strength. And one verse that our minister, Mr. Dean, gave to us is a real blessing and a promise, is Psalm 139 and verse 13. And says there, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And when you go back into the original Hebrew, the literal meaning of the word reins there is kidneys. And what a blessing to think that the Lord has both my kidneys and this child under his care. And you know, none of us as God's people, we have no right to assume that any of us, whatever problems, we have no right to assume that we should be free from difficulties and problems in our lives. Because in his wisdom, we all know this, and in his strength, and in his sovereign will for us, and his perfect will for our lives, he will bring things across our pathway. And the reason he does it is very simple. It's to make us more like Christ. And of course, it's to glorify his precious name. And we trust that that is, and we know in our situation, that's what the Lord's doing. And of course, it'll be the same for you if you're his child. And one a verse has been a help to me just as a finish, even in reminding me of that he will complete that twofold purpose, is in Zechariah 13 and verse 9. And just reminding us that the Lord wants to make us more like him, and he wants to glorify his name. And it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God."